Weekday Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
I'm having to stuff on my fat fucking head sideways all day. I'm absolutely disgusting today. It's been brilliant. Four packets of crisps, a big Frankfurter I made myself with crisps in it.
Yeah.
And then I'm after having three of those cakes you bought for another man.
Yeah.
For another man.
Jake's Stone Away cakes.
Oh, God, they're very good.
They were very nice.
Jeez, I've been trying to be good. I'm actually not doing too bad. And do you know what the worst thing that can happen to you when you're not doing too bad is? I met a fella I hadn't seen in ages. Oh, God, that can't chocolate's literally falling into my face. And he goes, have you lost weight? And I went, thank you very much. That's off. Yeah. Time for a Terry's chocolate orange, four packets of crisps, a hot dog, and four cakes. And so that's gone to shit now. But who cares? And I ate a block of cheese yesterday. My God, I ate a whole block of cheese. That's a hard thing to do, you know.
You know what's actually a bit more scary than that, even?
What's
is
that?
The fact that, like, and I agree with you. Like, in fairness, we've been far from good.
We're never good. Like, anymore. Like, we don't even try.
We're not making any sort of active effort.
No. To hell with that. Yeah.
And we spoke about this before. In this very building, you walk down to go to the Jacks.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a TV screen there. There's a couple of TV screens, and one of them is devoted to the Nova website.
Yeah, that was taken when we came here 3 years ago. Next week.
And there's a picture of us on the front of it.
My God,
we're fucking enormous.
We're like Siamese elephants.
That was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we were. Like, we're smaller now while indulging than we were
so
then.
So what were we at then?
I don't know, but we must have ate everything in sight.
I must have been, like, literally...
Were we inflated or something?
We must have been drinking burgers. Like, I don't know what was going on.
I don't even remember being, chunky as that then.
No, neither do I, honestly. I was doing everything I could to sort of just be the biggest man I knew at the time, by all accounts, but there you go. Somehow it's funny the way you can sort of go in and out without noticing sometimes, isn't it?
That can creep up on you now.
And you know the way sometimes you don't think you're... Do you ever do that? You don't think you're putting on weight at all. Like, at all. And you're like, you'd be looking at yourself in the nip one day and you go, I'm all right. For an elfful and all. You know, I'm all right. You know, there's not that many rings around or the meat hits and everything. And then the very next day, or even later that day, you look at yourself in the mirror or someone will take a picture and you go, it happened since lunchtime.
That's why you should always, right? You should always, if you're going to bother to look at yourself in the mirror, particularly if you are in the J's fluid, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You should do it first thing in the morning when you get up.
Yes.
Because then, at that stage, most things have stopped being swollen. Right?
Yeah.
Everything's gone in a little bit.
That's a fact. Everything's gone in a bit.
So
yeah,
look at yourself. Don't look at yourself before you go to bed.
Everything has gone in a bit, though.
Because, you've had your dinner and you've had everything whatever and you're definitely...
Ah, she, you're bloated and all. You're bursting out your pyjamas. Even your pubic hair doesn't fit like it did that morning. gaps there.
Timing is everything.
Timing's absolutely...
You do go in and out a little bit.
You do. You have to give yourself a little bit of a sort of leeway, you know.
Yeah.
You have to catch yourself at your best. First thing in the morning, preferably don't eat for a couple of days. Never drink water. That's a good bit of advice. Only drink tea and whiskey. I think that's... Only drink those fluids. They'll keep the skin tight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those are the things. Those little health tips like that.
Yeah. But and that's why, do you know something? What's generally a good trend that has come about now? Like, remember it before everybody had physical photographs and they had photo albums?
Oh, yeah.
And everything. And I know people have millions of photographs on their phone. There's people with, like, I don't know, 5,000.
Some people can't buy an ice cream without taking 14 photographs.
Exactly, right.
14. Ice cream later now.
The good thing about that is nobody ever looks at them.
No.
Nobody ever looks at them. The only time they ever look through the photographs is it's somebody's birthday and they think, oh, Jez, I better put up a photograph of PJ because it's his birthday. I'll find one of me and him and I'll go, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Right. That's the only... Nobody ever goes through their photographs, really, looking back on it.
No,
which is a
really
good thing. Because
when
there were physical photographs, somebody would always bring out something like that and show you when you looked absolutely shit.
Look at the head in you there.
Yeah. And your clothes were mank.
You peed your pants in the music festival. And you're eating popcorn. And it's your third time eating popcorn for a meal that week. And you're like, why'd you take that photograph? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the downside now, of course,
or
is...
at a wedding, when you're really like, you're cut sideways. And you know what you did. You went through the day thinking you looked all right or presentable or whatever. And then someone sends you a picture that they took of you at a wedding. And the suit, the tie is all coming out the side of your neck. And your bottom button's open, your belly's sticking out.
Yeah, one side of your shirt is down.
Your hair is all spare. One eye is looking out one window, the other one's looking
down.
Your
flies are down because you've only just come out of
Your flies down, your shoe's sticking out of your back pocket. You're like, why on earth did you send me that? I went through that whole night thinking I was okay.
I suppose the downside of nowadays is that there'll always be some fecker who might actually like publish it on the internet or something.
Well, we didn't have that. Thank God we didn't have that. We can live
that's
in ignorant bliss that we looked fine for our whole lives.
Yeah.
You know, your kids now, they'll never get to have that, you know.
Now, should they literally grow up with them?
With internet. Everything is, my kids, they'll just be able to, they'll be able to lick their teeth and send messages or whatever. Can't text now, I'm eating, whatever the way it'll be, you know. But that's the way, so they'll never have that. But we have so much of our history that has been forgotten.
Thankfully.
Not just by everyone else, but by us as well.
Oh, yeah.
And if we do remember it, we remember it wrong. For two reasons. Number one, we didn't have phones and social media and we didn't have a way to record it. And number two, we were probably locked. it's not right. It's not as accurate.
Because that photograph we're talking about on the screen down there, if you'd have said to me, not looking at it abstractly, if you'd have said to me, do you remember that time we took those photographs? Remember we were out in Bray or whatever we were leaning against that
you and PJ were there.
Shed or whatever. Remember that? And
you and him were on the rampage then.
No, my memory of that is that we would have been all right.
Me too. That's what I mean. If someone said you and PJ were scoffing back then, I'd be like, no, we weren't.
How dare you?
You're talking about. You were.
Yeah, see, so I remember the sizes then.
What are you talking about? No, we weren't. We were cycling and biking all.
Yeah, we were all right. Like,
they'd be like, no, you weren't. You weren't all right.
So sometimes bad memory can be a friend.
You forget that you were wearing a towel as a belt. So your memory can be your friend. You're right, Jay. Your memory can be your friend, But I shouldn't judge people.
Do you have any photo albums, do you? Like, would Stacey have kept any or anything like that?
No. Stacey kept some. Yeah, Stacey kept some. I don't have any interest in looking back in old pictures. I prefer to leave the past in the past. I don't even like owning old things. I don't even like it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't even like having possessions very much, to be honest. You know?
I'm not very nostalgic much a man person. Of the present.
Yeah, I'm not a nostalgic person, you know?
Live for the moment.
I don't really get it. I'm very, I'm a bit odd though. Like when I got a box of books sent by the publishers after I wrote the book, and I went, oh God, great. And I closed the box and took them out and put them all in the green bin. And Kelly was like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's money, man. You could have sold them.
It's not, you can't. I don't want them to buy them off me. I want them to buy them off the shop, you know.
Oh, right.
So I had them. You can't sell them. Well, no, okay, grab
them.
What
were they meant to be? Mementos?
Yeah, give them to your friends.
You just sell them at gigs and stuff.
Give them to your friends. I'm not giving them to my friends. I want my friends to buy it. And she goes, well, why don't you keep them? I've read it. Yeah. In fact, not only did I read it, I fucking wrote them.
Oh.
And she couldn't get her head around.
Even one copy. Is there one copy even in your house on a bookshelf somewhere?
There's four copies in there. And honestly, that's 25% more than I need. That's a copy, maybe like, and it's like, I'm not stupid enough to think the kids are ever going to read it. They're never going to care what they're... No kids care what their parents did when they were living in...
I think that's the ultimate. I think that's great. I heard this thing, right? Apparently it's an American thing, right?
Oh, God.
And you get this... it's like a book, right? Well, it is a book. It's not like a book. It is a fucking book.
Yeah.
Anyway, you get it, right? And in it, it's sort of... It's meant to guide you. It asks you questions as you go through it, and you write in... Right, and the end result is meant to be that you've written your life story.
Oh, right,
it sort of prompts you to remember things at different times, right? And the end result is then that you have this, you've kind of written your life story, and then it's there for your kids and whatever to,
if they
ever want to know.
Oh, I wouldn't
now, the
advise.
Thing about it is, I'm 100% with you. Everybody else goes, oh my God, that's lovely.
It's not.
And I'm thinking to myself, there's so much I don't want my kids to know about me. Much.
And you know the way everyone thinks they're interesting, right? Let me tell you what writing a book is. I haven't done it, right? Writing a book is an exercise in how little you actually have to say to the world. You think you've loads to say.
Yeah.
You think you've loads of wisdom and all. You think, I'm going to write my life story and all. And then you write it down and you go, right, that's 20 pages. And it's done. Honestly, and then the publishers and everyone else goes, that's not enough. And you go, well, I don't know what else to say.
Well, can you put in pictures or anything? And, fill it out a bit.
And then you realise, I can tell my entire life, 50 years, I can tell the story, all the bits that are relevant to anyone else, isn't all of it. My whole life, I can tell that story in 32 minutes.
There you go, because you have done. Because that's what you're doing.
32 minutes. And everything after that is filler.
And that's including the interval.
That, including the break. Well, I'll tell you what my favourite ice cream and all is.
You're right, though.
It's like stand-up as well. People think they're great and they're gas and they're funny and they're this and they're that and the other and they'd be brilliant. How would you do comedy? I'd love to do comedy.
Yeah.
Let me do comedy. People do it on radio all the time. I'm sure you've heard it through your whole career. I'd be great at that. I wish I could do it. How'd you get into that? You just sit there and all you do is talk and you tell people, you do a few gags and you do this and the other. Put them in front of the microphone. Yeah. They can't say. They go, hello, I'm Derek. This is Lionel Richie. And that's all they can do.
Yeah.
They literally can't fill time. They can't talk any meaningful way.
So true.
And the same people are.
The amount of people who say to you, I'd love to have your job.
I'd love to have your job.
Yeah, yeah. And you think, oh, yeah. Then you'd be good at it.
Sure, who wouldn't be good at your job?
What do you do?
What do you do?
Play a few records.
Sure, anyone could do your job. Talking fucking shit all day.
Funny that they never offered it to you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why don't you do it? Come in. That's what I start doing.
Yeah.
With stand up, I started doing that. I'll give you 10 minutes tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just do it. Come in and do the 10 minutes.
And I tell you, stand up. That is the one.
They'd be like, no problem.
Honest to God, anybody who turns around and says they can do that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Without properly thinking it through. Stand up is. Oh. I mean, that scared the shit out of me.
Most people can't even do a wedding
speech. I'd been performing for years on radio. Yeah. And the one time, and it was only 6 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it scared. And I had you helping me.
Well, that's. I mean, was that a help? No. Was it? That's a question.
But I tell you something, stand up is one of the most frightening things.
Yeah, because there's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere. It's the most lonely place because literally, thankfully it went well that night. Everybody was in good form. Blah, blah, blah. You were there. Eric was there. It was all good buzz and everything was great. I'd say, I mean.
And especially when you're Jim McCabe, who will always be Jim McCabe's biggest heckler. You know, that's a fact. Jim was on stage. You know, most people would be on stage and Jim would tell his own joke and everyone laughed. And you could hear Jim thinking to himself, what's so funny about that? You know, and he'd be doing his next joke and they'd laugh again. And you'd go, well, we really have a room full of ticks tonight, eh? They'd laugh at that.
Well, you know, it must be, I mean, Jesus, it must be scary. I mean, it's scary doing it when you're getting laughs.
Yeah.
It must be a nightmare if... I don't know how anybody ever gets in. How anybody ever gets the confidence in themselves to think I could do stand up and gets up on one of those open mic nights. You know, unprompted or anything.
Unprompted.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus! Now I don't know how anyone that does that. There's something wrong with them. Isn't there something very wrong with some of them?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or do a few jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get up. That'd be all mother-in-law stuff.
I was just going to say,
That'd be all very inappropriate.
Literally starts that line with, so this black lad, right, stop there.
Stop, thanks, end.
It's all right.
We don't want to hear your joke. No, it's a good one, right? And two men are walking down the street with a goat. No, I don't want to hear this joke.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear this shit joke.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. I know, yeah. But even doing open mics is tough, you know, like you can sweat for years or months anyway over doing a 5 minute spot. You know, you did.
But in fairness, you did do it.
Fairness, you did do it in a sold out theatre and all. That's harder as well, though. That's, you know, most people do it. There might be 15 people sitting in a pub at a half empty club on a Tuesday night, you know, or a Thursday afternoon. That's how most people start. It was like you were literally brought on. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll know him from the radio. Please put your hands together and hope it goes horrendously wrong for Mr. Jim McCabe. And they are all like, there was like 300 people or something. 350 people, I think it was, wasn't it?
The pavilion was full. Yeah.
And you walked out and was like, yeah. And then you were like, so anyway, I haven't done this before. I haven't done this particular incident or joke or anything like this. And now I can't leave for 6 minutes.
It was a long six minutes, so in fairness you deep ended it. But it did feel a long 6 minutes.
Yeah, but like, you did the comedy equivalent of showing up at the Monaco Grand Prix with L plates on. Which, in fairness, that's a big thing to do.
But the weird thing about it is, when you talk about an hour, right, when you were doing touring, right,
yeah,
and it had to be an hour-long show.
At minimum, yeah, sometimes an hour and a half or whatever. Yeah,
and you're thinking to yourself, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but I thought that every night.
You thought, Jesus Christ.
I did. Every night I'd be like, oh my God, why am I going to get an hour out of this? Even though I'd done 150 nights.
But you always, because you know the way you're not, like, I know you learn lines and everything, but you used to do mad things, like you'd make like one word notes to yourself.
That's the only way I could do it.
And then you'd completely free ball it.
15 minutes on a one word note or 10 minutes on a one word note. Yeah, yeah.
I
don't know. And I used to write the one word notes in the back of my hand and then it would look like I was just checking the time. But I was actually looking for me one word note.
Yeah.
And then one day I forgot my watch and I still kept going on stage. What time is it? And looking at my wrist and reading them. Didn't even have a watch on.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's, so you've never told the same joke the same way twice?
Ah, you would, yeah. Ah, yeah, it was just sometimes the order and stuff. Yeah, ah, you would definitely tell it the same way twice. And then, sure, you'll write the one-word notes. And this did happen a couple of times. I wrote the one-word notes on and I went out and I wiped my brow with my hand and they all smudged. I was only 5 minutes into the show. I was like, I'm fucked now, aren't I? Now what am I going to do?
Oh my God.
You know, and you're there going, 55 minutes to go. 55 minutes to go. And then you start just going, so where are you from?
Yeah.
Mister, are you from Baldland? You know, people are like, no, I'm not. Oh, no, I'm from Carlow. Oh, that's not as funny as Baldland. He said, stop that. That's hurtful. Okay. Where'd you get your jumper? You fucking should have a hoodie on, fella. Yeah, you like that. Okay, that's just, just another 54 minutes.
Just something. And I nearly paid to see you dying on stage. That's actually hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Has everyone here been enjoying themselves or sniffing glue outside? Nobody then. What a tough room.
Oh my God. Oh, Lord.
Anyway, I'm going to do a song for you now.
Oh my God. So let that be a lesson in case anybody out there listening fancy the life in showbiz. Let that be a lesson.
Anyway, I'm starting my new tour next year. It's called Welcome to Baldland.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
1 in 4 people are complete commitmentophobes in this day and age. One in four. Self-confessed now. It's not like they're in denial, but they're afraid to commit to anything. Now, that doesn't mean weddings or you know, like their own ones, obviously. But actually other people's as well. Or even getting into a relationship. Even having a partner, they're like, oh, I don't know if this is right. What if something goes wrong? Some people can't even get a phone contract. They have to do the sort of pay-as-you-go all the time.
Get a phone contract.
Yeah, some people say they don't even want their own house because they'd be terrified they bought the wrong one. They'd rather rent as extortionate sort of money than buy their own house. Gym membership is one of them. They're like, I'd love to go to the gym. I'd love to get healthy. But what happens if I buy it and I don't like it? I'm better off doing nothing at all. It's a big thing. People bring it right into their personal life.
That's extreme, isn't it?
The worst one I saw was a fella who couldn't commit to Netflix. You can cancel it anytime you want. You can literally do it a month and cancel it. You say, no, what if there's nothing there I like or if I get into it? I mean, it's what is it? I don't know what Netflix is. Is it 15 quid or something like that?
Yeah, but regardless, like, so obviously, these people are saying that it's not necessarily about the money per se. It's the commitment issue. The idea that it'd have to be any sort of what they consider long term.
Yeah, yeah, commitment. Absolutely commitment, yeah.
To a phone or a Netflix.
Yeah, they can't do it. They can't do it. Mind you, I don't know. I like the way Jim is laughing at this. You ask Jim what he wants for breakfast. He goes, oh my God, what if I buy the wrong one? You're going to buy a nicer one than me and then I'm going to be upset all day. Oh, I can't make a decision. You know, some people can't even make a decision.
Yeah, but like, I mean, making a decision, like being, you know, being faced with a load of choices and having to make a decision. That's true. It's different end of it to committing to it.
Yeah, yeah. When you treat getting a phone, like buying yourself a phone, the same as you would getting a face tattoo, you start thinking to yourself, it's not that big a deal. Yeah. It's not that big a deal.
And that's what they say it is. Calm down. It's nothing to do with how much the thing costs or whatever. It's just it's the commitment.
It's the
long term.
I'm going to do something and I'll be stuck to this thing then and I'll never get away and it's going to ruin me life. I'll never stop thinking about it. You know, I won't be able to escape it. Yeah. It's gas, isn't it?
I wonder where they draw the line.
People just look at cars. There's people go, look at a car. I need a car. I have to get a car for work. There's no public transport where I am. Ah, to hell with it. I don't need the job. It's too hard. I can't pick between Renault and Peugeot. There's just too much going on.
Oh, my God. How did they get through anything?
Hard, isn't it? It must be very difficult. It must be a lot of pressure.
How do they hold down a job?
Maybe they can't commit to that either. You know, maybe they're, you know, because a lot of people jump from job to job to job to job. I suppose that's all. That's easy to do these days, isn't it? Nobody has a job for very long, you know.
But that's more a case of having to than choosing to, really, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Having to move.
Having to choose, yeah, having to find or jump from job to job.
Ah, I suppose, yes.
Suppose you're constantly getting fired.
Yeah. Our people are afraid they'll end up in working every day with some idiot they hate and have to see him all the time. And every time you open your mouth, there he is, talking absolute crap. You know, maybe you worked on your own for years and went perfectly well. And then you change job and they put you with an idiot. Someone really, 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 really annoying. Can you imagine that, Jim? That'd be all, you know.
That'd be awful.
Maybe you are better off staying where you are sometimes, you know. So, and then you can't get out of it. Sometimes when you go home, he wants to go with you, I've heard.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
We've had a flood of people sending in stuff that they had misheard lyrics on.
Ah, there were so many brilliant ones.
Some of them, sadly, can't be repeated on the radio. Stuff like that.
Of course not. Yeah,
it's amazing how people's
that.
Minds always seem to wander towards the filth.
But what I don't get is, like, did they really think that those were in the song?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, like, the ones that I can give you, there's a challenge believing why you would think the lyrics of a song would be that.
Yeah.
For example, Niamh was on to say that her mum, right, for a long time thought that when they were singing Ghostbusters, right, that they were actually singing Cold Mustard.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Which, it's now, anyway. I do like
condiments making one, because, you know, I just died in your arms tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody thought, I just died in your barn tonight. And it goes, mustard, no mayonnaise. They thought, that genuinely.
Sorry, that is now starting to just sound like the way you do things when you don't hear somebody, rather than saying, sorry.
True enough.
You just make up stupid words.
Well, what about this one? You know the way Chickachita, tell me what's wrong.
Oh, well, in fairness, that's tough.
That's tough, yeah, but not when people thought it was, take your teeth out, tell me what's wrong.
That would
take
make more sense. That improves the song.
It does,
that makes it better.
It actually does.
Mary's one, very understandable. One of your favourites. Not the way you like, what's his name? Neil Diamond, is it?
Yes, yeah, I love Neil Diamond.
The Reverend Blue Jeans, yeah.
Reverend Blue Jeans. That's the new way I'm going to sing that song forever.
That, you see, that is understandable.
I like big butts and a can of limes. That was another one. That was great. That gave me a good laugh now, I have to say.
Claire was on, saying that for a long time growing up, she thought that Stevie Wonder's song Part-Time Lover, that they were singing the line. So will I give you the line that she thought or the line she should, or that it should have been? So it should have been Undiscovered Passion on the Run.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
She thought it was Undiscovered Fascists on the Run.
That's great.
Stevie Wonder, that's Part-Time great. Lover.
Yeah. World politics comes into it as well. Europe's the final countdown. You know that someone thought, you know that we're heading for Venus. They thought the opening line of the song was him going, we're walking for peanuts.
Which is a great.
It's so much fun.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Blue seal in the sky with diamonds. Imagine creating. I mean, that song is so weird. Why wouldn't it be that? You know.
Oh, what's the. I'm sorry. I'm trying to read some of these as they're coming in because people are texting them in. But anyway.
And then this one, maybe like, the monkeys. You know, the one. I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. And someone genuinely thought it was. Then I saw her face. Now I'm going to leave her. Which is, you can hear it in the song.
Yeah, but
you can hear it in the song.
Understandable lyrics, I'd say.
As opposed to I'm 14 Carat from Selena Gomez, and loads of people seem to think she was singing I'm Farting Carat for a while there. So that's, it's different, you know.
Do we know if these are like one-offs? Is like is this one people saying I heard that?
No, these are commonly misheard, these ones. These aren't, you know, these are... Yeah, they happen, you know. This is these are ones that have regular. That's why there's a chart of them, yeah.
Yeah. What's that Elton John song? Because a couple of people have texted in, like one
Tony
of them is
Danza.
Is James.
Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza.
No, it's not that one.
Oh, is it though?
It's one where he supposedly sings, the line should be Electric Boots.
I don't know what that is.
But
electric
loads
boots.
Of people seem to think it was Electric Boobs.
I don't know what that is, yeah. I haven't a clue about that one, yeah. Money for nothing and your chips for free is pretty good as well.
Is it as well? Glenn Campbell. like a 9 stone.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
let's face it, the beard thing has come into fashion in a big way, or certainly did. I didn't realise it was still as big. I thought it had faded a little bit.
I thought it was. It's about 10 years now since people started deciding they wanted to look like lumberjacks in coffee shops, right?
The beard thing became very big. It was like, you know, the kind of... all variations of the beards, you know. And moving on from the designer stubble of the... what was that? The 90s or something or whatever.
All of that.
The full... the actual beard became a thing.
Yeah.
I tell you, I didn't realise it had gone to this level.
No, neither did I. I thought turkey teeth and hairlines had long replaced the humble do-it-yourself beard. But it seems the beard is, once again, second wave of the beards making a big comeback. And like the turkey teeth and like the hairlines and all of that sort of carry on, beard transplants have now increased by about a third, people looking about beard transplants. So all of a sudden now, you have the new Delph and your teeth are as white as the back of your Gmail, right? And then you have your new hairline, but you go, I just look a bit bum fluffy, you know. Oh, I want to grow a proper beard or a proper mustache. I can't. So it's gone up by a third. Applications and interest in getting a beard transplant.
Transplant.
Yeah, to make yourself look a little bit more masculine or whatever. So.
And is it the same principle of, like, you know, sticking the little lumps into you the way they do on your head?
It's exactly the same. And they take the follicles from the back of your head, apparently, right? So that's your mullet gone. You can have one or you can have one or both. You can't have both. You can have one or the other. So and they put them into your face, so you get more coverage and it grows a little bit better, and you have you, so you can get your beard, the beard you've always wanted.
Right.
You know, maybe you've looked at yourself and says, I hate my smooth face like a baby's bottom. I want to have a big Burt Reynolds mustache, or I want to have a Grizzly Adams, or maybe even a Gerry Adams. I want to have all of them.
One of the Adamses.
Maybe you want to be like Ronnie Drew. Who knows what your motivations are, but it's becoming more and more, it's a bigger thing, costs a fortune.
I suppose I shouldn't really be surprised. I mean, it's, you know, it's just another part of it, it's another cosmetic procedure. It's just, I never thought about that, the idea of getting a beard transplant.
Never thought of it.
Like getting, like, extra hair on your face.
I suppose.
Did you? You can. What?
You can grow facial hair.
Yeah, not the stuff I want, though.
No.
It just grows grey.
I know, but like, look at my
face. It makes me look even older than that.
My face looks like a dog's after having an operation. Do you know the way that happens? It's like a big hole, patches, where it looks like I maybe got stitches in them or something if I try and grow it.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. Like, even doing Young Offenders, I give it...
You don't have particularly... Like, you still have your hair, but you don't have a particularly strong hair growth
not
elsewhere in your body. Like, you're not hairy-chested or anything.
I'm so Japanese in my chest. And I had to grow my moustache for Young Offenders. 3 months I'd be growing it.
Yeah.
3 months. And then they go in and they have to colour it in with hair dye and eyeliner and everything. So it looks...
Yeah.
Like a man's moustache, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like... Because I still look like a teenager just walking around going, can I have a packet of smokes or something when I grow a moustache? I don't look... So I guess maybe it's aimed at people like me who are into it.
Right.
But I hate shaving and everything. I consider myself lucky that I can't grow.
Yeah, you see, that is the thing, you know. Like when you were a kid and you thought that, you know, shaving would be cool.
Yeah.
And then you're forced to have to do it because, you know, nature takes over, and then it just becomes the biggest pain in the backside.
It does, yeah. And they're taking follicles off the back of your head.
And you think it's bad for you? Imagine what it's like for me. I have to do my entire head.
I know.
I've got way more coverage.
When Jim shaves, he looks like a huge earbud. With all the shaving cream.
That's true. I actually look like something else. It's like I don't know, like Skeletor.
He answered the door once. There was a door-to-door salesman. And he answered the door with Jewish shaver. And a fella thought he was wearing a white balaclava.
Yeah. Take the stuff. Take it. No charge. It's true. Yeah.
And it's the gas. Like, I just think having to take hair follicles from your head where your actual hair grows, but in your face, seems counterproductive to me. You know, so many men would do it the other way. If you could take them from somewhere else, like, you know the way at this day and age, it's a bit rude if you don't have a shave in the trousers of some description. Like, you know what I mean? If you could take them from there and put them into your beard.
Wow, that'd be interesting.
That's all I'm saying. It'd be suit everyone.
If you had nether region hair,
yes.
If they transplanted nether region hair
to your chin and everything.
To your chin, yeah.
You know, because essentially it's all the same, isn't it? Or is it the same?
Well, I don't know.
Would you grow a big bush on your chin or something and would people be there going, oh, would it all? I don't understand the difference now. I'd have to ask a surgeon about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd probably be leaving yourself wide open to a lot of unfair nicknames. Imagine, now off the back of that.
That actually sounds like something Jake Stevens would do. Yeah. Why don't you just hang that on me trousers and put it on me chin?
Wow.
I want to do that. Because it's always, it's styled so well there. I'd love to have it on my chin.
I mean, like, I assume the people who do the transplant thing, they must want, you know, obviously they want that look.
Yeah, well, you must look, you obviously have beard envy of some description.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're getting it. Maybe you're, this time of year, maybe people are watching religious things, Easter and all, they're looking at all the apostles going, rage, and look at them.
The
they
apostles.
Look deadly, so they do, yeah.
That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Remember back in the day, people used to walk into hairdressers with pictures of celebrities or pictures out of magazines and say,
Brad
I want
Pitt
my hair,
and everything, yeah.
My hair to look
go
a bit like
with a
that.
Picture. That's yeah. Jesus. It's not actually. That's Saint. That's Saint Luke.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to go for the Jesus, but somebody put me off and said Saint Luke would be better for you.
Yeah, that's his picture from the Gospel for the Pharisees to the Epistles. And I was just wondering, could I get that beard done?
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Mother's Day coming up the weekend. There might be sort of like people planning restaurant trips, you know, for their mum or whatever.
Yeah, don't forget to be nice if you're going over something to eat.
Yeah, because in fairness, I know a lot of people say, look, you know, these things can be expensive. And they can be expensive, you know, depending on where you go. Can, you know, a day out like that or going to a restaurant, depending on many, could be an expensive thing. But, you know, doesn't give you a kind of carte blanche to just...
Don't be a tosser about it.
Exactly.
You know, don't go in and start making up stupid excuses. A Welsh chef, right?
Pussycat.
But the Welsh chef has come out and said he's revealed some of the most ridiculous things. That, you know, he's abandoned this whole customer is always right thing because people just try and take advantage, right? And like, I mean, they're really advantage. So some of his stories are one person came in and says they wanted a free meal and vouchers because there's a pillar in the restaurant obstructing my view. He was like, of what?
Of the rest of the restaurant?
Yes, it was everywhere. They were like, it's not, what do you mean of everywhere? I can't see every corner of the restaurant. So there's a pillar there. I want free meal. They're like, you can see, can you see your dinner? I can see my dinner, yes. And can you see the people at the table? Yes.
Wow.
But I can't see the person over there who's none of my business. So they wanted, yeah.
I mean, the gas thing about it is most people would consider that like, you know, nearly a benefit. You have almost an element of privacy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
Whatever, you've got your own little section maybe or...
Well, okay, granted, you're saying there maybe there's a sort of a half a justification there. What
well, no, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying like it would be a good thing nearly to have a little bit of privacy maybe in, within the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. But that's,
so you shouldn't be complaining about it.
That's one way of explaining it. How would you deal with this one? A guy turned up and he says, come here, I'm after getting a fine in my car coming here, driving in the bus lane. I've no idea traffic looks like this in the area. You need to give me a free meal for you should pay the fine as well, actually.
Wow.
And he was like...
Because he chose to drive in a bus lane.
Yeah, and he goes, but there was no other way of getting here on time for the reservation. There's no... You don't even mention it's going to be chock-a-block out there for 2 hours.
And this was the restaurant's fault.
Yeah, yeah. Outrageous. Yeah,
wow.
Huge complaint. And another fella says, the roads are so bad coming here, my car's after depreciating by about 400 quid. The least you could do is give me a free meal. The very least you could do.
Wow.
This is all true. Like, this is all stuff that he's heard, yeah? And
with no hint of humour about it. They were genuinely
yeah.
looking. Some guy wanted compensation because the roads weren't great.
Yeah. And another family cleared their plates, had their meal, the whole lot. He came down and says, how was that for you? Cleared plates. And goes, honestly, the food was great, but the plates are disgusting. We would like our money back. And he goes, what do you mean? He goes,
Sorry,
I don't like them. They're like, I don't like the plates. It's not the choice of Delft we normally go for.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And then another fella says, not one of you has asked me about my day or my life or what I do for a living or anything. I've been sitting here for 2 hours. Yeah.
So they were expected to supply the company and the conversation and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just the food.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
My God.
Yeah. And a glass was taken off a child, and once they said, you owe me money now for that, I won't get a free meal. I'm trying to teach that kid the dangers of a glass by letting them run around with it. And they were saying,
God.
Yeah.
People are strange.
Oh, really strange,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, you can kind of understand it. I know when you're part of the general public. You tend to kind of think, as you say, the customer should always be right.
But they're never right.
But it must
Let's
be a
honest,
nightmare to deal with people
time,
like that.
Most of the time, the customer, 99% of the time, the customer's wrong.
Yeah.
That's the truth, isn't it? Most of the time.
Well, every version you've come up with, certainly they're wrong.
Yeah. Somebody asked for a tomato soup without tomatoes. And then when he says it couldn't be possible, he says, well, that's just outrageous. Is there anything you can do, he said.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.